Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, a live show brought to you by Plebs for Plebs, which focuses on the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin protocols. Join QW and Avi as they run down the weekly news and developments, breaking down the current thing and the future frontier with the foundation of decentralization, the builders, thinkers, doers, and plebs.
Live.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to episode number 78 of Plebchain Radio. Today is Friday the 13th of September, and it is 6 p.m. on the east coast of the United States. At the time of recording, we have a great show ahead of you today. Flo Montoya, Bitcoin artist, joins us to talk about her art and all the other projects she's involved in Bitcoin and maybe even Nostr. Just a reminder that if you are listening to the recording on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, first of all, thank you for listening, but I would urge you to hit pause and switch over to the Fountain podcasting app, where you can earn some sats as you listen and support the value for value movement. This show is recorded live on Nostr.ness, where you can join in the live chat. It can get pretty lively. And it is also streamed to zap.stream. And QW, for our meme readout today, I'm going to do the two-button dilemma meme. I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about. I know this one.
I didn't know the trolley paradox or the trolley problem or whatever that was. I do know the two-button, so carry on.
So this is a two-frame meme. And it's a cartoon.
Isn't this essentially the trolley problem, though? Isn't it just two buttons? I mean, kind of. You basically two choices.
It is a dilemma. So this is a two frame meme. The top frame, and this is in cartoon form. The top frame has two red buttons, both of which have captions, and a white gloved hand wavering uncertainly in between the two buttons, unsure of what to press. The first button's caption reads, "Admit to yourself, your dream is dead." And the second button's caption reads, "Pay $12. We then move to the second frame below it, where it is this cartoon character looking very frazzled, wiping the beads of perspiration from his furrowed brow as he's pondering this dilemma, the dilemma being a domain renewal. And QW, as someone who is a soon-to-be startup founder, and more on that in the next few weeks, I certainly am not planning to be suffering from this dilemma, but it is very true, isn't it? There is that moment of truth when you need to renew your domain for this project that you've been on for a while, and it makes you wonder, should I carry on, or is it really worth $12?
Yeah, or is it worth, I don't know, $2 million, like Nostr.com could be, possibly. $3 million? that's true. A pretty cheap renewal, though, for that potential, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think domains go a couple different ways, right? You have your dream, but then you have like, well, I'm gonna flip this thing. You know, I'm gonna farm them real quick. So, because they're gonna be worth so much one day.
Maybe that is the startup idea: domain flipping.
Yeah, I think that's it's a namespace attack. But that, you know, now there's so many dots, .gg, .lol, zap dot. Good luck in the Nostr space trying to steal domains.
That's right. And speaking of the Nostr space, QW, our sermon today is Nostr needs unmarketing. Unmarketing. And, you know, QW, there's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks about Nostr needs this and Nostr needs that. And I think the pet topic has been marketing. So I'd like to say something like right off the bat, which is Nostra doesn't need anything, right? It is a piece of technology. It's a piece of decentralized technology. It's a protocol, and it's a protocol that works. So it doesn't need anything.
Yeah, now, and just to say I need something, doesn't that like kind of imply that you're not content where we are at this point?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's certainly.
I mean, need versus maybe we want, maybe we would like to achieve, but need, that's getting pretty desperado, in my opinion. But yeah. Yeah, carry on.
and also the we, right? Who is the we that we're talking about here?
I don't need anything right now. I'm pretty good, man. I'm having some fun.
but look, here's, if you are talking about marketing, right? A case can be made that perhaps individual clients, Nostra clients, right? Like Primal, like Dharmas, like Nostra. I'm not a single any one of them out. I'm just giving an example here. Perhaps if they might need marketing on an individual client basis, if that's how they think they can grow their user base, right? If the marketing approach is what they determine to be the way to increase their user base, then sure, the individual clients need marketing. But the protocol as a whole, needing marketing, I don't know about that. But here's what I will say, though, KW. In this early stage, this stage of infancy that Nostra is in, the protocol is in, there is something to be said about motivated plebs getting together to educate and evangelize and share this. We've been using this amazing technology, right? And I use the word we here, but it's true, right? There have been a lot of people like you and I, KW, who've been using this amazing technology and see the potential.
I think you can say we with me and you, Avi. That's not too bad.
Now, fair enough. But we see this amazing potential for this freedom technology, and we want to bring other people into the fold so that they can enjoy what we've been enjoying. So there is something to be said about motivated plebs getting together and potentially even coordinating an education initiative or an evangelizing initiative. A great example of this, by the way, is what, shout out to Jeroen and other Dutch Nostriches, I think Bitpop Art, and there's several others. I'm sorry, I'm not able to name every single one of them.
But don't dox them all, Avi.
That's right. They're doing the Nostradam booth at Bitcoin Amsterdam. So it's a Nostra booth that they've, group of plebs have got together, decided to pool their resources, their time and energy, and shill the different apps on the Nostra protocol. So that kind of effort makes sense to me, because I view that as coordination. That is not centralization, right? And I think some of the talk around Nostra needs marketing, that sort of had this fiat centralized marketing idea in mind. But who is the central body in Nostra, right? Who are the high priests of Nostra who decide this is the marketing approach that we'll use for the protocol? There are none. I mean, and that goes for both you and I as well, right? We are part of the pleb coordination effort, certainly not some kind of centralized marketing effort. So all that to say, KW, and I think you're the one who coined this phrase on marketing, this coordinated pleb approach to education and adoption, that to me is unmarketing, right? It's organic, and it's motivated by this desire to welcome people into this freedom technology, and not as an exit, right? Which is typically the case with fiat marketing, right? You build up hype, with VCs and what have you, to bring capital in so that you can actually make the exit and move on to the next shiny object in a couple of years.
It's a low time preference, high time preference comparison. When you need something, you certainly seem a little high time preference. But you know, and we look at the protocol, that's just the protocol. All these clients are running on top of that. And some clients are ready to rock. Some are ready for marketing. Others aren't. So that decentralized marketing at the time you choose is a big one. But I really think the only thing that is necessary at this point is just more education, and that's something that we strive to do. We are Pleb Chain Radio, but we really try to, beyond the pleb stories and just kind of the gentle pleb approach to understanding Bitcoin and Noster, we sprinkle in some layman education with every guest we have, whether it's a client or a story or just someone who has experience in it. But our approach kind of with the unmarketing side of things is really that circular economy, the pleb wheel that we've talked about before. Like for instance, right now, if you go to Lightning Store and buy a Pleb Chain Radio shirt, all the proceeds go to the show. 20% off if you use the promo code PlebChain. We get 0% of any kind of promo code. Number one, Lightning Store gets the marketing on that. But when you buy a shirt, then the money goes to us. When I take that money or we take that money, we send it to Fountain. Fountain, we promote our show on Fountain. The sats go back to the plebs. So we're supporting the protocol. We're supporting the plebs. And we're trying to increase adoption, increase education. Ultimately, that will go back to more Noster adoption, more sats for plebs, more sats go back into the Noster protocol. So feeding these kind of flywheels or what we call pleb wheels is a great way for unmarketing, in my opinion. How can we be self-sustainable in a circular economy is a big one for me. But that's everybody just kind of playing their part, doing their part in this Noster community. So that's just one example of unmarketing. But we can certainly think about marketing in a different respect than your standard, right?
Well, we certainly can, QW. But I will say, first of all, that is a great example, right? The flywheel probably is at least our cornerstone for our unmarketing push. And then speaking of the Lightning Store t-shirts, QW, it turns out, oddly enough, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a resurgence of demand for those shirts. I wonder why.
And we had 100% more sales last week, I believe.
Yeah, they're flying off the shelves. So get yours.
Someone bought one.
Well, all I'm saying is get yours before supplies run out.
Yeah, and you know what? We might even change the color again. I'm a big fan of changing the color of them, like the purple ones that we had originally. Those are gone, never to be seen again. The black and yellow ones are out now. Once they're gone, you never know. It might go purple and orange next. You never know.
With that said, QW, I think it's time to...
They're rare, Avi.
They are rare. I think it's time,
QW. That said...
It's time to welcome our guest, Flo Montoya, to Pleb Chain Radio. Welcome, Flo.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you, Flo. And we have to start with a burning question. Did you manifest freeing Julian Assange with your painting from 2 months ago?
I cannot go into the details because that would be very dangerous for me, but maybe.
Maybe you speak about it with the broad stroke.
What?
Nothing. Was it a painting?
It was a screen printing.
Okay. So some sort of a stroke.
It was a really weird day because I have been working for a couple of months in that piece. It's one of the latest I've done, and the day I like put it out there in the public and we do a auction with a scarcity is the same day that the news gets out of Julian being free. So it really was very strange.
Wow.
And the painting was a free Assange painting, right? That's what that was the message on the painting.
Yeah, it was free Assange now. So now I'm actually re-editing all the other paintings. So that one, because it got auctioned, it was a series. So now that one is only a one out of one. And I'm like trying to talk more about the idea of free speech in general with the piece.
Love it. So Flo, let's talk a little bit about your backstory, I mean, to the extent that you're able to, right? Which is, so maybe we can start with this. When did you realize you wanted to become a full-time artist?
Yeah, I've been like very convinced about being an artist since very young. I started with painting lessons while I was at school, and I had my doubts, but I always came back to it. I studied classical arts in an art academy here in Chile, and then I studied in the university, and I still choose arts again. I was more into the arts. I was already an artist when I discovered Bitcoin. So it was very weird when it all started to make sense in my head. And we were just talking with some friends, like, it's so weird when you have two obsessions and then you find a way to like put them together, and it makes sense to you, and then you can do both at the same time.
You know, for sure, Flo. So did your art lead you to Bitcoin, or did you discover it outside of your art?
No, it was outside. It was thanks to my family, because actually in the first academy, it was like back in 2014, one of the other students mentioned Bitcoin. He actually convinced the teacher. It was a very small place, and there was only one teacher who ran the whole thing to buy Bitcoin. We're talking about like Bitcoin being at $100 or something like that, and they were so stressed, like watching it every day, like it went down, and then this guy was going through a divorce, so money wasn't like flowing that much. He was an art teacher, and he was so stressed because he had bought Bitcoin and it went down, and once it recovered, like it went back to 100, he sold everything. So I think that guy probably until today is like regretting that decision. And I remember going back home and telling my family, and everyone was like, what is that? Like internet magic money. That was our whole, like, I don't know. We couldn't get an idea about it. And then later on 2017, my dad started like playing with it, because he has been working for the same company. It was a German company, so we were used to this moving the money around. So in order to move his salary, he wanted to try something outside from the banks, and that he discovered and tried Bitcoin, and we fell in love from that moment on. And it got very encouraged because of my brother, who is a software engineer. So the whole family got into Bitcoin, like very deep, very hardcore, fell down the rabbit hole.
That's like a life goal, isn't it, Avi?
Oh, yeah.
Get the whole team on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Shout out to that gentleman that went through two bad breakups, one with his wife and one with his $100 Bitcoin. We're thinking about him today.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been so tough.
And so that's kind of your Bitcoin story. But you're talking about art and you're talking about Bitcoin. Is it almost poetic that Noster comes along, where you can kind of express that creativity with the circular economy that is Bitcoin through the Noster protocol?
Yeah, it's like the circle is completing itself. And I've been into Noster, I don't know how long. So I'm so happy that I'm seeing more movement now, more people joining in. The clients are making it easier for people, I think. So that's also amazing. Because if it wasn't for my family and all the help I receive, and I'm not very technological, you know. I don't know if I would have been able to be here. So for normies or technological normies like me, it's amazing when they make it a bit easier.
So Did you kind of follow along maybe from Bitcoin Twitter to let's try this Nostr thing out? Tell me about how you found out about Nostr and maybe your first client you used.
Yeah, the first client I used was Damus. So I don't know when that was. It was just like, we are very close with my family. So since my brother knows so much about this and he's always like going into the code and all of that, he explains stuff to me in a way that I can understand them because I don't know anything about that. And it sounded so interesting, so amazing. We are very, for me, it's very important what's going on with freedom and freedom of speech and what we're seeing around the world. So I'm more interested in the ethos of Bitcoin and Nostr and all of this. So once we like kind of understand what was going on, and he explained to me like it's a protocol. It's like the internet, and then you have all these clients and blah, blah, blah. I had to be there, and I just went on and did my account and started playing with it. And I was so sad when Damus lost the subs, and I think that was a bummer. And I went like away a bit from Nostr. I didn't like start looking for other clients either. It was just like, I'm going to go back to Twitter. I didn't delete anything, but I wasn't paying too much attention. And then for one of the jobs I had to go back to Nostr because I work in marketing and social media and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I was managing also a Nostr account, and I tried Primal. I realized that they can sub and they had this thing figured out. So it caught my attention again.
Yeah. Yeah. The onboarding was much simpler when Primal came out, and they cut that deal with Strike Black Service. And you actually joined from my records February 3rd of 2023. So that was about a month or two before Damus got kind of removed from the app store on the Zap, where they had to, and it was a huge momentum shift. It really was, because Zapathons were popping off. Everyone was having fun. We went from invoices to zapping to all of a sudden the app store. And it's amazing how much a centralized app store like that can really just screw up the momentum of Nostr's clients. But I think it's one of those experiences we had to have to kind of grow and be more resilient the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like we need this, and that's why these networks are so strong. It's because they're not centralized. So we're going to see faults, we're going to see like problems, but it always raises up stronger from those things. And for me, it was like, if I cannot sub, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I think it's such an important thing of the network.
Right. And I guess you can say we hit a little bear market there, but the bull market's back, right? It's a new cycle.
Yeah.
A new zap cycle. Yeah.
Flo, would you say you've seen, so how many months did you kind of step away from Nostr?
I was there, like I would go in, I would post something or like cross post, like I would do, like if I do a tweet, I would do it also in Nostr just to do it, but I wouldn't like go in and check what other people were doing or were talking about, you know. I would do that only in Twitter. So that was kind of it, and it was a long time. Plus, I was working a lot. I had two jobs. I was doing my art, so it was like not much time for social media.
Well, I guess where I'm going with this question is: did you find a difference in the sentiment, right, or just the feel, right, the vibes that you experienced before you kind of took a step back, right? Middle of last year, right? That was when Zaps were removed from Damus, and then when you started re-engaging again. Do you feel like the vibe shift, or is it the same happy vibe? What is your observation there?
I feel like it's like the same happy vibe I had like right at the beginning, like when I started playing with it, but it's like much bigger kind of wave. And I guess it's because now there's more people in there, so it's funnier and yeah, it's more diverse. And also at some point I remember going to Noster and like the post I saw, it wasn't that many, but whatever post I saw, it was like, come on, yeah, just very technical, like, yeah, we should figure this code about whatever feature that's failed. And it was, yeah, cool, do that, but I don't understand any of the words you're using.
What you're saying is it was a nerd hangout community back then.
I mean, I love what it's been built, but I don't understand it, and I cannot be of help. I do pretty images, you know, and I want to share them with the world. And now that I see people are sharing their pets, their food, their everything they're building, yeah, it's so much fun.
No, it certainly is, Flo. So let's switch back.
Speaking of food, Avi, Zapdot's Cooking had their very first article, or their very first newsletter that went out. And my grandma Betty's chicken Dijon was one of the featured feasts.
Oh, that's great.
Just saw that though. I think that's great that we're starting to see clients like Zapdot Cooking start putting in work on the literature side.
No, for sure. Flo, do you know what Zapdot Cooking is?
No.
KW, do you want to tell her?
Oh, it's basically just it's another Noster client that people post their recipes. So I think you had some meat on the grill earlier. Maybe you seasoned that a certain way. Maybe you cooked it a certain way. Maybe you smoked it. Maybe you did some certain things to that. At the end of it, you just take a picture of it and then you just post the recipe. And that's on Noster forever. And people zap it if they like it. Maybe they'll recreate it. So just like your typical recipe website without all the clickbait and 15 lines to scroll down just to get the ingredients.
How was the client's name?
Zapdot Cooking.
Nice.
So you got a new mission, and you sign in with your InPub just like anybody else. Your recipe actually posts to Highlighter, Abla, and so it goes into long form.
Nice.
And Highlighter and Abla.
I love.
Are just long form clients where you post articles essentially.
Nice. I really like cooking and food in general. So yeah, nice.
Well, you know, just think about it, right? This is a separate Noster client where you can post your favorite recipes, and you and people zap you if they like it, or you can search for new recipes, right? And the recipes in multiple languages now, KW. I mean, there's recipes in Thai and what I thought was that.
Yeah, the Thai community is really popping off in Zapdot Cooking.
Yeah, for sure. So and you can find recipes.
But Avi,
and you can
isn't that interesting though? Because our Noster is different than their Noster, right?
Yeah.
Like Thai. I mean, there's probably clients that are from Thailand that we have no idea what they are. This is just our truth, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. So Flo, let's kind of circle back to art. And do you have any favorite artwork that you personally have done?
Oh, my own art. I mean, I'm not that your typical artist that doesn't like his own work. Like I put all my effort into a piece until I like it. If I don't like it, it's not finished for me. But I guess one of my favorites was Bitcoin is Love. It was a piece I did, I think it was last year. And it was the first time I changed into a bigger format of drawing, and it presented many challenges. And I also really really loved thinking about the idea of what is love, what is Bitcoin, how do these two ideas connect.
Is there a website where all your where you catalog all of your artworks?
So yeah, I'm not. I have a website, and I try to keep it up, like to be like up to date. It's called ungovernable.store. So I have like you can purchase the screen prints that I already like the things that I have available, and there is one section that's called like gallery, where I'm trying to put all these other pieces that are one out of one, but it, so that you can still see them. And so, for some of those pieces, I've been working with Proof of Ink to create like a Gicle fine art prints or something like that to play, to give it more life, because I tend to do many pieces that are one out of one. So then it's like they are gone. But yeah.
Well, what is your preferred medium for your art flow?
I really like, I feel very comfortable drawing, and I studied for most years as a trained painter, like oil painting artist. I'm trying to get back to that because it's been a while. But for me, it's more about what the piece needs. Like sometimes I just do it in any materials because it's like what makes sense in my head. I cannot explain about it, but I try that that it makes sense. So if I want to do like kind of, for example, the Free Assange image for me was more like a propaganda, like a poster. So I wanted to do that in screen printing because it made sense to me. Or for example, if I want to talk about the limited 21 million Bitcoin, and I want to talk about inflation, so then I go and I do metal engraving. So I print the art in the paper, but also the metal is very like it reminds you of the coin. And then I go frame the metal so that you know I would never print with that metal again. So I love when these ideas of what you want to talk about or what the image represents makes sense with the materials you choose.
Now, can you explain, Flo, what screen printing is? Because I've seen videos you've posted when you were making that Free Assange poster, and it looked like there was some kind of mesh, and you were scraping something, and then you'd lift it up, and you know, so to someone who's not a trained artist, right, such as myself, and perhaps some folks who might be listening, how would you describe what screen printing is?
Yeah, screen printing is a very old technique of reproduction. So in a way, this is one of the techniques you use to do a series of drawings that are like the same. Of course, there are small differences because everything is done by hand, but it's like you have, I don't know the word in English, but so you have like your original drawing, let's say, and you put it into the screen. It's like a fabric, very very thin screen. There are different techniques of how you put that drawing there. So what the screen does, it will block some parts where you don't want the ink to go through, and it will allow other parts for the ink to go through. So when you put the paper beneath and you have the ink on top and that thing that I drag, what I'm doing is I'm pressing the ink so that it will go down to the paper on the places where it's not blocked. I don't know if I'm explaining this, like if you're understanding what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. And if you have like five different colors, you'll have five different screens that you press down, right?
Yes, each color, it's a new screen that you have to, and then you have to fit them perfectly or the more perfect you can. Some pieces are very, very hard to match like one layer to the next one. For example, I did one for also for Ross Ulbricht. I didn't have I couldn't do the magic of freeing him with that one. But that one was super, super hard. If you look at it, it might look less complex, like it's only in gray tones, and it's like using characters, so you will see like numbers and letters, and this creates an image, but it was so much harder to create than the other ones that I've done. And it was because of this, because each layer must match like the next one. So you need to like foresee like the future, like, okay, I will do this layer first and then this one. And when you have like tiny mistakes, each layer gets harder and harder because you have to like play with your mistakes.
And Avi, just to let you know, Pleb Chain Radio shirts are just one layer, one screen. One screen print. Very simple. But very rare.
They are very rare, for no, sure. But
screen print is the best way to do your shirts. Like it's gonna last so much. You can wash it, you can wear it all the time. It's not gonna crack. It usually is the best way to have like a long-lasting shirt. So very cool that you're using that technique.
No, we're not.
Yeah. Shout out to Sam with Lightning Storm Wavelength.
Are we actually doing screen printing with Pleb Chain Radio Shirts, KW?
Yeah, man. I don't know if you've seen his shop.
Oh, wow. But,
I thought he was joking. Michael Ree in the audience says, you don't want that heat-pressed garbage, says Sam. So, yeah, we're quality. Comfort colors, thick cotton. I mean, I wear these shirts every day. So, I'm basically... a walking bumper sticker for Lightning Store.
Not only are Pleb Chain Radio shirts fashionable and high quality and comfortable, they're also works of art, as I found out today.
And if you talk to Doc from Nostra Report, they're great for conceal carry too. So just heads up. Man, we're really hard selling these shirts today, Avi.
Yeah, unmarketing, right? That's what we called it. So sorry, Flo.
Mockingbird Media.
Sorry about that, Flo. That was just us breaking off on a tangent. But so let's get back to the art. Are there any particular artists who inspire who from the past, right? Any great artists who inspired your work?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of like very classical painters. Maybe because of my painting background, like learning, that's where I have more knowledge. But I think that was a beautiful time when you could combine ideas, intelligence, but also beauty. And I feel at some point art was like ashamed of beauty. So you could only be smart if things weren't beautiful. Like beauty was a distraction. And I see a connection with that with now that like the whole Bitcoin art renaissance is for me to embrace beauty, to embrace values, to embrace what's good in humans, not just to talk about how, I don't know, garbage we are, you know?
Well, that's in fiat world, unfortunately, that's what you get. So any particular, you're talking about the classics, are you talking about the Monets or maybe...
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm more of I don't know, Velázquez, a Rembrandt mm-hmm. kind of person, but I also enjoy the Impressionist a lot. Yeah. I'm not so good with names, but you get the idea. I am like, I really like, I was at the museum. I have never seen a Velázquez live, but I mm-hmm. saw Rembrandt and it was amazing. Like, you can stare at that thing and it's like impossible to figure out how would a human being with no computer, no, I don't know, photos or anything, like how did they do it? It's very impressive.
Well, a lot of the greats sort of inspired that, especially when you're looking at the real one, right? I don't think the photographs or the posters do justice to it. One of my favorite places to go to in New York is the Metropolitan Museum, and it's a huge museum. Right, I mean, there are all sorts of exhibits everywhere. Right, there's this Egyptian, there's a real Egyptian pyramid that they moved over. There, you know, amazing historical artifacts. But my favorite place is the European art section, and I could just stand there for hours. And like you said, just staring at it, saying, "How is this? How could a human being have created something like this?" Like, and you know, with Monet especially, it's like I'm standing there, and it's like, am I having a dream? Because I feel like I'm in Monet's dream when I'm looking at this incredible, this ethereal colors that are just jumping out of the scene, the lakes and the lilies and whatever it is, right? It's and of course, yeah, with the Dutch masters too, right? That the realism that they were able to capture there with the still lives and other paintings.
Yeah, I think it's part of what, I mean, I don't know, I sometimes feel like it's by design, like if you are impressed by those things, if you enjoy it, and if you start to, if you might want to start to create, and I don't mean like you will be a painter, maybe you want to do some other amazing things, and I think too much creativity is not good for the fiat system, because you want people to be like just go mine the fiat and then we steal it from you, and like to continue like very in a sleepy kind of way. So if you have too much creativity, if you have you these people can wake up and realize, yay, I don't have to live like this, I don't have to work for money that other people is printing for free, and you don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Flo, look, actually on that, let me ask you a question. I'll take the other side of that, which is, let's imagine a world on a Bitcoin standard, right? Where the fruits of your labor are not getting devalued. And by the way, most of the mechanical jobs get automated with technology, right? And technology produces that true deflationary effect that it ought to, right? AI starts automating many of these, you know, jobs that people toil over. And your purchasing power is maintained because you're on a Bitcoin standard. What do human beings do then in that scenario where there's really nothing to do because, and your money is safe, right? Your purchasing power is protected, and most of the boring jobs are being automated either by AI or machines or something like that. What do human beings do then?
Yeah, I'm a very optimistic person, at least since Bitcoin. So I think that's when creativity explodes. That's when you see periods of time where humans have been super creative and like they do all these inventions and all these beautiful things. And I think it has to do with what you're talking about. Like people get more time when you have a hard money standard, like gold in its time and before it got inflated, and much better with Bitcoin. So I think people will do whatever they want to do. You have to continue adding value to the world, because nobody is going to give you their sats for nothing. I'm not going to give you my sats. I mean, we are sapping here, we're having fun, but I don't sap every post I see. I sap the post I like, I sap the post I think add value, you know. It's the same. It's like you have to do something of value to earn those sats. Even if your purchasing power doesn't decrease, you might want to add some more to your stack, not just spend it. When you have like this generational wealth mentality, you still want to maybe stack a bit more and to work. And I think humans, I think it's part of maybe of what makes us happy. Like I feel so proud when I accomplish something. Like when you do a task and you do it well, and I'm not talking about like, I'm very passionate about my art, but when I'm working for, I work for a Bitcoin company as well in the marketing area, mainly Panties for Bitcoin. And I'm learning so much with them because it's a very small company. So I'm learning about, I don't know, Google Ads now. And I had no idea how that thing worked. And I'm like learning and studying, and every achievement makes me happy. And it's not my main thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll talk about some of your other things that you're involved in the Bitcoin space in a bit, Flo. But I want to stick to art for just a little while longer. I honestly, what I think is going to happen when people, the way they'll create value is by creating beauty, right? Because their purchasing power is protected. All I guess the mechanical jobs have been automated and the prices have fallen to the marginal cost of utility, as Jeff Booth likes to say, right, in that fair world. So what is there for people to do? It's pursue beauty, make beautiful things. It could be art, it could be anything else, but that's what I see happening. But let's talk about what, maybe bring it back to the today's world, right? Bitcoin is a technology protocol. It's a technological protocol. It's just, you know, numbers and bits and, right? So how, what is Bitcoin art? Can you define it? Like, how?
Yeah, it's not easy. I have my own perspective, but I think as there are many, for me, it's about like embracing the Bitcoin ethos, maybe more than what the image shows, depicts, because I've seen some like hardcore, super hardworking artists like putting so much effort and creativity to the piece they're building, and it doesn't necessarily speaks about Bitcoin. Like, we are on an early stage where we are like promoting Bitcoin. Maybe we are this decentralized marketing team and we want to do like Bitcoin propaganda. I don't know. But sometimes I think it's bigger than that. It's going back to value, to excellence, to proof of work, I think. And not trying, it's the opposite of maybe what we see now in like fiat art, that it's like trying to convince you with words that what you are seeing is amazing and it's not garbage. Bitcoin art doesn't need to convince you. You just appreciate it and you know. Maybe that's my feeling. It's like, yeah, of course there is all this talking about Bitcoin, trying to teach, and as I said, like more of kind of propaganda. But I also see more things, because me, like myself, some of my pieces, if you look at it, it's like, why is this about Bitcoin? Like, it doesn't really ring an immediate bell. If I tell you like what did I connect with what or whatever, it might make sense to you too, but you can appreciate that I spent hours building it and that there was effort and consistency and all of that.
And what would be one of your or maybe your favorite Bitcoin artist or artists?
Yeah, I have so many artist friends that are amazing. I'm working with a Rebel. He's so creative. He gets so many ideas like in his head all the time. I really admire like a Madex, Crypto Graffiti, Fractal, then like Modeotech. I'm not gonna remember all the names, but we have a chat in Telegram, and it's amazing because it's working, because people are joining. So you will have like all your art or favorite Bitcoin artists together in one place, and you can like scroll who is joining the team and the group, and you will be able to discover many artists. But every day I'm finding out that there's more and more people building and creating. So yeah, I don't know if I have like one favorite, but there is a lot of talent in the space.
I like the fact that like Bitcoin in general, we've talked about this in a few of our shows, how it kind of expands your consciousness, the way you view the world. And I think that goes hand in hand with creativity and inspiring art. Also how Noster, kind of a new frontier where it seems like it takes you, it inspires your most creative self as well. How does Bitcoin and Noster kind of discovering these things and learning this whole new world help in, you know, putting those thoughts onto paper?
I don't know, but what I feel is that Bitcoin and Noster. So I was talking actually to Rebel the other day. We were talking about this idea of the Medicis and how they sponsored arts, like and they were like responsible for all those amazing pieces that were done, and people say like, oh, we need like the Medicis now. And I remember telling him like, I think we don't. I think we have Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is our Medicis. Like, we can be our own Medicis. And now with Nostr, it's like, it's also this idea of, like, you have to build, you have to be consistent, then stack your sats, don't stay humble. And now with Nostr, people can also be part of that journey, like every day. Like, if you're sharing part of your process and someone likes it, then he might sub you. And then that also, it's like, yeah, it's like a decentralized Medici.
Yeah, I just think it's they flow so well together, pun intended, flow. So you go to my experience is I've seen you in a few locations over my time on the socials, and I think you go to a decent amount of conferences, maybe even as many as Avi, I'm not sure, but you do go to conferences with your art exhibitions, correct?
Yeah.
And what is that like to kind of unveil yourself through a framed art?
Yeah, it's absolutely stressful and very frightening at times, but it's also the most amazing experience because nothing beats like being live, talking to people there, like when someone wants to know about what you created and you get to explain and you are like, it's also very like relaxed and you have the time to go into the details. That's also so much fun. And yeah, I've been very blessed to be to different conferences and different like cultures. And it's also very nice because then I try to like discover this new place or city and try to see what art they have, like go to the museums. And many, like, most of the times I get back home and I am like already in my head creating a new piece or like very inspired. Like, yeah, it's beautiful.
And what kind of reception do you get with, let's say you got a normie off the street that sees your art. Do they have 1,000 questions? because they may not come from that pleb mindset.
Yeah, I don't really know because my normie friends stopped asking questions. And like people, I don't know if I don't get that much like exposure to normie world.
Like the other side.
So I don't really know, but sometimes, yeah, I remember going to, so I birthday of, it was a friend from my boyfriend. So I didn't like knew the people at the moment, and so this girl started like, yeah, what do you do? And I'm like, yeah, I work in marketing and I'm also an artist. And people like, what, an artist? Okay, what do you do? And I'm like, yeah, well, very classical, like I draw, I paint. Yeah, but what do you paint? They really want to know, like, yeah. And until I get to, yeah, I do Bitcoin art. And then it's like, what? You can see their brain like what? It doesn't make any sense to them. And it's like, oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, if this person is really nice, I try to explain it. But also, like, I don't want to go too deep and be too, I don't know, too weird about it, maybe. But yeah, I love hanging out with Bitcoiners.
Yeah, it's a loaded deal when you deal with, let's say, the normies on that, and they find out, and you know, maybe they'll that'll be their first touch, and they'll find it down the road. But we pray for them, right?
you know, I dread to imagine, Flo, what someone like Madex or someone like Mia One, I'm sure you know Mia One.
Yeah.
What they explain to their normie friends about their paintings.
Yeah. I can't imagine like how those conversations go.
Well, and Flo's got it set up though, Avi. Her whole family's orange pilled. She travels with her orange pill friends. She's not going to your she's broken out. She's living the dream in our world, right? I have to march into the office every morning and right into the heart of the belly of the fiat beast.
Yeah, I did that for a while. I had an army job and it was awful. I had fun. I learned a lot, but it was like so much fiat minded, and I couldn't take it anymore. And then I quit it and I started searching for Bitcoiner jobs, or like at least pay me in Bitcoin. Like I want to be like the most on the Bitcoin standard that I can. And that was a very good decision. Yeah.
Follow your heart and find your purpose. I feel like that is the perfect recipe to find inspiration too as an artist.
Yeah, you cannot lie. When an artist lies, I think people real, like, even if you don't know, you can feel something's not like working out. And because sometimes I have very like fiat-minded friends, and they're like, "Yeah, I want to sell this painting. Like, I'm doing so bad economically, and blah blah blah." And I'm like trying to like tell them, "Freaking study Bitcoin, but okay." And then I'm gonna do this other painting because this one is gonna sell. It's not like they want to paint that because it makes sense in their head. It's that they think that the other person, that's the one that's gonna be the one everyone wants to buy or whatever. And when you're thinking of that, like in a kind of pseudo commercial way, is never the painting you sell, like never. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure, Fly. I mean, it sounds like if you do that, whoever does that is in art for the wrong reason, right? It's not for that pursuit of beauty, but it's for the pursuit of money, which is ultimately a losing game for most people. So let's talk about some of the work you do in the Bitcoin world outside of art, Flo. You're with Love is Bitcoin, right?
Well, not anymore. I quit that one too, recently.
Oh, got it. Now, I am curious about that. I don't know how much you want to talk about it now that you're not there anymore, but just out of curiosity, what is it? Is it like is it a media company? Is it a magazine?
Yeah,
like
that was one of the problems of why I think I quit it. It was like, I'm not very sure what the goal is. And I was okay with it at the beginning. Like, I'm learning a lot. I'm like losing this state fear in a way. But as I moved forward, it also was like a noise in my head. Like, why are we doing this? I don't really know the purpose either.
Yeah. I was there a business model? Because I always look, it was an entertaining account, right? Even before you joined them, it was, I think it started off as, as memes being funny or memes being posted, usually with, always with women in them saying something funny about Bitcoin or something provocative. So I thought it was a meme account at first, but then it seemed to transition into some kind of business, which I tried to understand. But I couldn't. And then I think you joined at some point.
Yeah, we were promoting other. That's the part that I enjoyed the most, is that I got to find out about so many Bitcoiner brands, and we were promoting them. And yeah, some people told me like, yeah, this is a very cool place where I go. Like, if I want to find out if there is a Bitcoiner brand about something, or like it's a curated kind of place where you can check out many Bitcoiner brands. They have coupons and you can get discounts. Mm-hmm. And that's like the main thing. Promotion and selling through these coupons. Yeah.
Got it. So essentially the business model was some kind of affiliate marketing play, right? With all of these other brands that you were promoting.
Yeah.
Got it. And then you mentioned panties for Bitcoin. So there's a funny story here, Flo. I happen to be in Montreal.
Wearing them right now, Avi. Are you wearing them right now?
I was in Montreal a month ago with my family, and we were spending a few days there. And then I said, you know what? It'll be nice to go to see if there's a Bitcoin meetup here. And there was. There happened to be one right around the time we were there. Showed up there and get to talking with, I don't know if he wants his real name, so I'm not going to say his real name, but get talking to this wonderful gentleman from, maybe he doesn't want, he's from your part of the world, let's just say very broadly.
No, you can say.
Yeah, okay, well, talk to this wonderful gentleman from Argentina and have this conversation, and it turns out that he is the creator of Panties for Bitcoin. So that was an interesting coincidence, or just happenstance there. What do you do for them? Do you help them with marketing? Do you design the logo?
So yeah, I joined, I think officially in January, and I help with social medias, with marketing campaigns. I'm learning to do ads because I want us to try out these digital marketing strategies a bit more, and we'll see how that works. Because for many of this, like, this is a family brand. So every time you go to a conference, it's amazing and people know the brand and all of that, but it's a huge effort for the family to be present in those conferences. So I want to help with the, like, online presence. And we are also trying to create other stuff. There are surprises coming. We are gonna do like very, very high end, very high quality other products, not only underwear. Underwear is amazing. Like, everything is done in Italy and all, but we're gonna play a bit more. Hopefully it works out, because it's right now everything is like in the workshop, and we're looking to like trying to do this only 21 items or something like that, like very special, very artsy items. And yeah, trying to, I don't know, I help with whatever they need. It's like we are a very, like, not a huge team, so everyone is like working on many things. I also did a photo session last week here in Chile, and it was amazing because I got to like see how these things got organized, talk to the photographer, got the models, and then like be creative about the pictures and all of that. And yeah, every one of these experiences teaches me so much, and that's why I think I enjoy this job so much.
Yeah, that's certainly sounds like quite the learning experience there. Talk a little bit about your podcast, Flo, The Art of Freedom, right? Which you mentioned Rebel before, Rebel Money Art, the Bitcoin artist. Both of you do a podcast. Is it a podcast or is it a Twitter space?
So, yeah, no, we are doing it in a Twitter space so that people can join live. And we have a guest every week. I would love to do something like also on Noster, but so we both have like different jobs, and then it's the art creation, so everything, it's a bit slower, like in the learning maybe curve or something. But so far it's been amazing because we get to know and to learn about these amazing artists, and we try to get guests from like every discipline. Like, it's more about creativity, or maybe I don't know, like culture maybe, and it's about and we love that the guests can like express like what they're building, upcoming projects. It started when I was in Madeira, so I got to talk to Rebel, and I said like, we should do something together, we have been friends for a while. So and I said like, there is something missing in the space, and it's a place where people can go talk about culture and arts and all of this, and for the artists to express what they're building, to like go deep into whatever they want to. And there was a podcast, it was called The Bitcoin Muse, and I don't remember now the creator, it was very good, I loved it, and then he stopped. He couldn't make it anymore. I don't know what happened. And so maybe it was me missing that podcast, or I don't know. and we just started. It wasn't like very planned. We said, okay, the spaces is easy. We are not gonna edit. We are gonna just do it. And it's been, we're at the 25th episode.
The Bitcoin wow. Muse with Clay and yes. Enos? Clay Enos?
Yes, Clay Enos. Yeah. Very, very nice podcast.
Were you on that one time?
I was once. it was so much fun. And he
I saw it on your on Governor Bull website.
I put some on there and then I stopped because time and life. But that was so much fun. And I loved what he was building. If someone wants to like listen to them, because they are very like temporal. I don't know if that's a real word, but it's not about what's going on. Like when you're talking about, oh, Bitcoin made this move or the price or this news happened, this president said something. No, we're talking about like life in general and right. art and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's the way. Culture is upstream of adoption. NGU is cool and all, but you know, let's get the pleb stories out there. Let's get the creativity. Let's build our culture out through creativity, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the only way out. Like I was just thinking about that. When I got to moderate a panel, and that was like a crazy experience. And the whole thing I wanted to talk about and all the questions like build it from was this idea of, can we shape culture or are we just like a product of it? So we just manifest the culture we are in. So we are like a manifestation of our fiat culture or can we like shape it and mold it and yeah, I don't know, build it in the way we want to. I still don't know.
Avi. That's right up your alley, man.
No, I'll answer it, but I want to hear what Flo has to say first.
Sometimes I feel like we can, but it's hard because you have to be very conscious about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because when you're like just like going through life, I think you just replicate. And mm-hmm. if you put your mind to your actions and you try to be consistent and you think about what you're doing, which is very exhausting to do at times, then I think, yeah, we can.
Mm-hmm. My view, Flo, is we absolutely can, right? We can manifest whatever reality we want, whatever culture we want. We are not victims. We're not trapped in this fiat world. We're free. The only thing that's in our way, the only thing that's in a person's way of manifesting that culture, that reality that they want to live in, is themselves, is their thoughts, right? Is their bird brain telling them they can't do it, putting in limiting beliefs, saying, no, remember what your mom told you, or remember what the bully on the playground said to you, right? But I think if we can, And this is very much possible. If we can strip ourselves of that conditioning, of those limiting beliefs, we absolutely can manifest whatever magical reality we choose.
And Avi, to add to that, you're currently have your microphone on a cardboard box. You're manifesting a podcast studio right now.
That's right.
You're doing it.
There you go. So Flo, yeah, that's my answer, I'm ready to get into an argument or fight even with anyone who says otherwise.
But it's about consciousness, because you have to want to let go of those things that are, you know, like you said, like whatever the bully said or whatever. There has to be a will. It doesn't magically happen. So I think individuals can, but when you think about a group of people, like a big group of people, it's hard. It's hard to think that because, again, I blame fiat. People don't have time. People don't, they're stealing their time, and then they're tired, and then they're depressed, and then it's like, you know, like the cycle goes on and on and on. So why would they make this extra effort? It's mm-hmm. like, I kind of understand. It's sad, and I hope more people would do it, because once you start and then you start to discover all these things, and then you discover Bitcoin and Noster, and life gets so much more bright, but it's hard.
It is. And I think, and I get it, right? I get the reality of the situation where it's like, you know, you're putting your time, as a normie, you're putting your time and labor into something that you don't even, that doesn't inspire you, right? That you're sitting in a cubicle somewhere. And then you come back, you barely have time to spend with your family or to do the things that you actually want to do. And then it just wears you down. And I think at some point, the individual has to come to the realization that, look, I spend my life being sick and tired of everything. And now I'm finally sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. I am not a victim of fiat. I'm not going to play that archetype anymore. I'm ready to step out. Anyway, that said, Pleasant, what else are you involved in? So you talked about Panties for Bitcoin. We talked about your podcast. Is there anything else you're doing? Obviously, all of your art. Anything else that you're involved in the Bitcoin world?
No, nothing more for the moment. And it's okay, because Bitcoin art is taking the priority again, thank God. And I'm actually working for new projects, more collaborative projects. So it gets a bit, it's tricky when you work with other people. You have to coordinate so many things and you have to agree on so many things. But I love it, because I think the outcome is much more interesting when you have like more than one perspective, more than one person building. So, I don't want to say a lot about it, but I'm working on projects that are hard, but so exciting and in a collaborative way. So it's not like happening here locally, like in Chile. It's going to be, we're going to try to do something that is as just like these networks are, like happening all over the world at the same time, and we can connect here and we can talk. So we want to like kind of represent that with art, and I hope we succeed, because it's I'm so happy about that project.
Well, I can't wait to hear more. Actually, Flo, as you're saying that, I want to float an idea by you. It's something that I've been toying with, and I think it'll be really cool. But I want to get your opinion as an artist, which is, so I want to call it 24 murals, right? Mm-hmm. Like the, you know, the large wall paintings.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick 24 artists spread all across the world. Each one of them is commissioned to draw a Bitcoin mural in some prominent location in their city. It something that evokes Bitcoin, the way you describe Bitcoin art, right? Something that exists for the sake of it being beautiful, not because it needs to make money or whatever it is, right? And you know, maybe weave some literal Bitcoin concepts into the theme somehow. So 24 murals. In each of those murals, there is a seed word embedded in, right? The artist who's painting the mural only knows that one seed word that they're supposed to embed in. These seed words are from a real 24 word seed phrase, and which has some amount of Bitcoin sitting in the wallet, right, or in the address. And no one knows what the order is, other than the person who spun up, who's sponsoring this thing, right, who's commissioned this artwork. So I think it you create this worldwide treasure hunt, where first of all it's a beautiful piece of art, right, that can potentially orange pill people in 24 different places in the world, and it just becomes a tourist hub because everyone's trying to come and figure out the order, what the seed word is that's hidden in that mural, so that they can get the bounty.
That's a very, very cool idea. Yeah, like the words you hid in, like you hid a seed. I remember when we were talking about your book, and that
the book called 24.
And yeah, and how
link people... in the show notes.
Yeah, I think that's a very beautiful idea, and it's actually like the project we're working on right now. It's also very the idea is to be visible, to be more like kind of street art or something like that. So it goes in those lines, but yeah, I think that's a very beautiful project. Please call me when you do it.
I was going to ask you, Flo, how is your mural work? Because if I can get this, funded somehow, you'll be one of the in charge of the mural in Chile.
Yes, please. I will learn murals for this project. You know, I just remember I am involved in something else, but I had forgotten. So we are actually building a festival here in Chile, and it's going to be in a small town that is very entrepreneurial. It already has some people like Orange Peel, but the idea is to Orange Peel the town and to have like, I don't know, I hope this works, but it's more like it's a festival, more of an experience. And one of my ideas is to get like a lot of murals from different artists in the town, so that when people arrive, the whole town is part of the conference in a way, and the merchants are Orange Peel, or the ones that are Orange Peel, we will put like a map so that you can go spend your sats in real stuff, not just for the conference. That would be the idea.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And don't forget to update BTC map with the new locations.
Yeah, we have to do the Orange Peeling first, and then...
Avi, well, I'm thinking about these 24 murals, like the Da Vinci Code or the Zodiac Killer Cipher. You're going to be right up there with these murals, right? Just wonders of the world.
Oh yeah, let's
all the best gumshoes from seven continents.
You know what we should do, KW, or what I should do for this is pick 24 locations, so that when you look at the points on a map, it makes some kind of shape, some special shape.
I mean, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, look, I'd love to. So, hey, if any billionaires in the audience who are listening to this, first of all, I hope you're doing it on Fountain. You know how to reach me. You can Fountain's the Nostra app. You can DM me directly there, and I'm happy to run this show, the 24 mural show. So, Flo, anything you'd like to plug?
No, thank you so much. I've enjoyed so much talking to you guys, and thank you for doing this and for what you guys are building. And yeah, we need people like who are deep into these technologies, so that we, the lazy people, can also join and learn. And if you hadn't invited me, maybe I don't know how long would it take me for me to discover Nostra Nests, like really, like go into it. Yeah. And it wasn't that hard. It was like, for a moment, I thought I was not going to make it, like, okay, this is not working. And then it did. So I was so happy and I felt so proud about myself.
That is Nostra in a nutshell. For a moment, it feels like it's not going to work, but it just does.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much. And if people want to follow me, the Nostra is, I think, Flo Montoya. And you can check out ungovernable.store, where I have some projects that are like available. And you can check out also the other ones that I did that are in private collections.
Yeah, I'll put your store or your website in the show notes for this episode. And I very much appreciate, I loved listening to you talk. I loved getting to know you, first timer over here. So I really appreciate the human that you are.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
And with that said, please comment, zap, Boostergram, whatever, get involved on the Fountain app, Nostra Native. I'd love to hear from you. Lightning.store, that's where you can buy the PlebChain Radio shirts. We've never actually advertised these things, so we figured let's give it a whirl. And the entire Lightning.store, Lightning store, anything on there, use the promo code Pleb Chain for 20% off. Again, nothing comes back to us. That's just a gift to you. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.